Okay. So why don't you, to start, introduce yourself. Tell me who you are, where you're from, and when you were born.
Okay. My name's Thomas Hogan. I'm in Charleston, West Virginia, and I was born on September the 3rd, 1957.
And tell me a little bit about your family background.
I was born in Eastern Kentucky in Danville, Kentucky, and I was raised in Moorhead, Kentucky. It's a small town in Eastern Kentucky.
Oh, nice.
My father was a supervisor for a bread company, Purity Made Bread Company. Worked there until he was medically retired in 72. And my mother, when I was young, worked in a clothing manufacturing factory for a number of years, and she was the shop steward there. I don't recall the name of the place. It was just the factory, and she sewed pockets on jeans. That was her job, and she was the shop steward there. And then she worked part-time as a clerk at a jewelry store until we moved to Charleston, West Virginia. And we lived there ever since, and I'm still in the house where I was raised.
Nice. What brought your family to Charleston?
And my father was transferred with the company that he worked for delivering bread as a supervisor, a shipping supervisor.
Okay. How long have you worked at Kroger?
Well, I'm going to retire next September, and I'll have 46 years and 3 months in.
Oh. And which store are you at?
I'm at store 778, the Delaware Avenue store here in Charleston.
Okay, that's where I shop. And what is your role there?
I'm a clerk now, but I've done just about everything in the store consistently except for working in the office and the deli.
Okay. And what's your role in the union?
I'm a shop steward. I'm a senior shop steward at 778.
Okay. And it sounds like your mom was also the shop steward at her company?
Yes, she was.
So you grew up in a union family. That was there a sort of awareness of the union in your family?
Well, as far as my mom was concerned, and my uncle also had an influence on me, and he was a teamster, and he drove liquid oxygen trucks out of Sharon, Pennsylvania. It's close to, I believe, Youngstown, Ohio, and he retired from there as well. So I got a lot of influence from him.
Nice. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what the recent union negotiations were about?
Well, the chief issue for our local, according to the surveys that were taken, were that the medical benefits and the caps on them were going to be like huge. Mm-hmm. Like they were going to be double or triple the weekly employee contribution, or the huge possibility of it, because they were underfunding the medical benefits. And a lot of people in our union are a huge percentage are, you know, they raise families and they're just working folks. So their medical benefits are the main reason that they work for Kroger.
Right.
And that's a huge, huge benefit to have. And we may not be top of the line, but what we do have is far outreaches some of the stuff that other people have to live with. Mm-hmm. And the weekly contributions are usually huge.
And when
I know
this,
that the ones in.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was just going to ask.
The local in Virginia. As a matter of fact, UFCW local in Virginia, because they're right to work state, they pay $250 a month for their benefits. And I believe that the company's effort was to try to bring us to a place where we were making contributions that was comparable to the locals in Virginia.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we were able to prevail to the negotiating table, and that didn't happen, at least for this contract.
Did that all come down in the midst of the pandemic?
Yeah, and that just added to the importance of the medical benefits. I can't imagine, you know, if you didn't have any medical benefits at all, and one of your family members, you know, came down with the COVID-19, you know, that would just completely devastate financially a family if they didn't have medical benefits. One event, it would be over. It wouldn't be a matter of two. One would be enough.
Yeah. And especially since you're interacting with the public every day in your job, that's really important.
Well, it's continuous, yeah. The stress is continuous. The awareness that every time that you come in close proximity to a customer, which is numerous times a day, continually, it doesn't let up, particularly being on the service end. If you're on the front line running a cash register, or like I work the service area in the seafood and the meat right now, that's my assignment. And it's all day long, every day. And at numbers store, even with the quotas that they try to keep down, you know, the cap on numbers of people in the store by monitoring who comes in and who leaves, still yet that is a consistently a huge number of people to have to be exposed to. And that threat is it's out there and it's real. And I believe we should be compensated for it. But the Kroger company, at least here with this local, is going to do whatever will assist them in making their public image better. And if they don't have to put forth any money to make their public image better, then they're not going to do it.
Right.
It's simple as that. They, at the bottom line, if we didn't have the ability to negotiate with collective bargaining, we would have a fraction of what we do now.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about your experience as an essential worker during the pandemic. Like, how did Kroger provide or not provide you with safeguards? Are they enforcing the mask?
Well, they did. To their credit, they followed the guidelines that were set forth, and they had a pretty quick program at getting barriers in place, you know, for the check stands, for the service areas. And the nature of working the service cases in the meat department, it separates you anyway, you know. But I would say that they did their part as far as eliminating as best they could or mitigating the threat of contact by putting the barriers in and enhancing their cleaning regimen and investing in that, which I'm thankful for. And they did really good at monitoring at the very beginning, just spraying and wiping down frequently touched areas and stuff like that. They had a program in place to have the porters go around and tend to cleaning the surfaces and things like that. So, yeah, they responded. They responded well to it. And I was just concerned because they're not interested in giving us any more per hour pay than what we're getting right now. And I think it's really sad that the medical community doesn't even, you know, they're at-will employees, and the nature of their business is even worse, you know, than ours.
Right.
And, they know that they're people that they take care of and they wait on, and their clients are sick, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine what they're, my daughter's a nurse, my wife's a nurse, but she's in research now. Mm-hmm. And doesn't have patient contact, but my daughter's an ER nurse, and it's just tremendous for the medical community. I can't imagine.
Right. Yeah. Kroger didn't offer any kind of hazard pay?
They did temporarily, you know, just, I believe that this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was early in May. They offered some and they paid it for a couple of months. And then they added a couple of $200 bonuses. And then after August, they didn't, you know, they decided that that had been enough and they were not going to participate in giving the employees any additional money like that. So they ended that program.
I see. So yeah, tell me what it was like to do this collective bargaining. Did you participate in the car caravan or a socially distant protest or anything?
Yes, it did, and I believe that that was effective. I believe that we got a good response from the public, and I know I deal with a lot of younger employees who don't understand what collective bargaining is, or the importance of public opinion and public backing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the caravans and the exposure to the press and press coverage that we got was beneficial in putting pressure on the company and making them understand that, you know, nobody wants a strike. Nobody wants to strike.
Right.
But we were really fortunate that we were able to show by way of the caravans and by the news coverage that we were willing to do what we had to do to get a fair contract. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a huge ask. I mean, you know, we just wanted our health care to be funded, and the raises, you know, were not tremendous, but they were raises. So there's no such thing as a perfect contract, but it was a good contract, something we can live with. So,
mm-hmm. And did those happen at each store, or
we had a couple of different. I wasn't able to participate because of some personal things that went on at every one of them, but I was in two of them, and then one time I was at the Kanawha City store, no, twice at the Kanawha City store when we did the picket lines and the informational pickets out front. And I believe that that had a good impact and effect.
Mm-hmm. And what was Kroger's attitude at the bargaining table?
The only thing that I have my own ideas about and philosophies about the Kroger company that's mm-hmm. been formed over years. That they're not going to do anything that they don't think they have to do. Mm-hmm. And they will say that they're going to do one thing, and then they will do something else. Okay. So that really diminishes the level of trust from a personal aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, if a person is completely upfront, and what terms comes to my mind was one of the letters that they wrote and send out was, you know, we're putting our best foot forward, mm-hmm. referring to the negotiation process. Well, my response to that when I read it in my mind was, well, if you put your best foot forward, we still wouldn't be negotiating. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, if your best offer was there, then we wouldn't even be talking about this now, and this letter wouldn't exist. Right. So obviously you're not being completely forthcoming, you know?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that pumps me up a little bit when they put out that kind of what I feel is misinformation. They're just not being straightforward and upfront.
Right. And did you do your voting at a store level?
Yes, we did. We did it at each store in our local. And I had on the first vote that we had was about a pension question and funding for pension, which was separate and apart from the actual negotiation of the contract. And we did it the same way both times. I participated in counting the votes for the pension fund voting. Mm-hmm. And I did that at the local, and we covered it with a Zoom as well.
Yeah.
And had to sequester the boxes, collect the boxes, sequester the boxes. And as we opened each box, we had to show that, you know, all of them were closed and everything was secure and it wasn't being tampered with in any way.
And then you did your bargaining over Zoom as well?
Say it again.
You did the bargaining over Zoom as well?
I don't know the process about the bargaining at all. I mean, I was not part of a negotiating committee. Okay. I was just in on counting the pension fund votes.
I see. Have you been involved in other union actions in the past?
Yeah, I've been to the eastern part of the state when the nursing home nurses were trying to get a contract with, I believe, the nursing home in, was it Lewisburg? I can't, now doggone it, I can't remember the name of the name of the place we went, but that was last summer. We went and did an action over there with the nurses over a day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's still ongoing or whether they decided not to give them a contract or what, but we were supportive of the teachers when they were doing their had their problems with getting their raises, things like that, at the Capitol, as all the trade unions were as well.
Uh-huh. Nice. Yeah, what are your thoughts and concerns, going into this winter as a worker, as an essential worker?
Well, our concerns individually and personally is that we've got to do the things that, and I have a great deal of faith in the government guidelines that are in place now. Mm-hmm. As far as the washing of the hands and the wearing of the mask, which is, nobody likes the mask, mm-hmm. And yeah, it was something to get used to, but it's necessary, and the distancing is necessary, mm-hmm. because of the mechanics of how the disease is communicated, and transferred. That makes the job challenging in and of itself, but over time you can be conditioned to do and get used to about anything. Mm-hmm. But my concern is that the efficiency and the effectiveness of the vaccine, yeah, that's in question right now, the number of vaccines. I really have my doubts as to whether or not the clinical trials that were conducted, mm-hmm. are sufficient enough to give us any the right amount of certainty, yeah, as whether or not it's safe, mm-hmm. not only is effective, but over time in clinical trial situations is where you prove or disprove a drug is effective and safe. Yeah. And I have my doubts about the safety factor in the vaccine at such a short period of time. Yeah. If I had any concern, that would be it right there. It's the thing about the vaccine. The thing of the pandemic is something that, as a whole, globally, worldwide, that we weren't prepared for, even though they told us, that they had those teams in place. And the World Health Organization had those scientists and doctors in place trying to study these viruses and get ahead of the curve, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We obviously did not accomplish that in a way that we had hoped, mm-hmm. as a planet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And because no one has experience at this level, as far as it being completely coast to coast on our continent, mm-hmm. I don't believe that we were prepared for it. Yeah. And I really don't think that there was any way to assure that anybody or any organization could have been prepared for it, because it was unique. Mm-hmm. And there were some decisions made at higher levels that affects us that I'm not in agreement with, but what it is what it is, and we got to live with it. Mm-hmm. Same way with work. We can be personally very circumspect about our practices when we go to work every day. Mm-hmm. And I do what I do, not only for myself, but also for the workers, the people that I work with, and the customers, and my family. And that's my chief concern. And that's the reason I try to deal with this bad situation and make it as best as I can.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of vaccines, they say they need about 2 years to test them sufficiently. So, I mean, I understand that.
Yes, they do. And that's time. It takes time. You can't just, you know, like they say, warp speed it, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to use different demographics of people. You got to use different age groups, different sets of people, and see how it affects the entire span of your test group.
Yeah.
And you just can't rush that process. It takes time. That's mm-hmm. the reason things don't just get done day after tomorrow, you know.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Well, just that everybody stay well. Mm-hmm. It's going to, they say that we will have a handle on it by mid-year next year as far as the effectiveness of the vaccines. I just hope and I pray that the safety issue is not something that we have opened the box that we can't close, you know, and I hope everyone does well. And it's key to have some agreement as a workforce and as citizens of a country or the world of humankind, because everybody's in the same box, yeah. so to speak, that we just try to buckle down, practice good discipline, be patient, be kind to one another, and it'll be over.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, it'll be over. So.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. This is really great. And so this will go into the archive, and I have a release form to send you so we can use the interview in our archive, which goes to WVU Libraries. Do you have an email address I could mail that to, or should I snail mail it?
Actually, I do have, it's dirtdog22m@gmail.com.
Dirtdog22m@gmail. Okay. And then if I send it, you could either sign it electronically or you could scan it and I can give you my address to mail it back.
Okay.
I will also look out for you next time I'm at the store and say hi.
Yeah. Okay, good. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Well, take care.
Okay. You do that as well. See you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.